surpassed to penetrating and perfect truth, it is seldom met with, even in the 100,000 myriad colors. Now I can see and hear it, pretend and remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one word of myself.
This is the Buddha, this is the Dharma, this is the Sangha. Celebrating the Manjushri festival today, and of course Manjushri at the deepest level is cosmic wisdom. Wisdom in Buddhism, of course, does not necessarily refer to what the world thinks of as wisdom. Nor is it necessarily referring to any particular kind of knowledge. I think in general the best approach to both compassion and wisdom is to think of them as being inherent and perfectly so within the eternal. I can't help thinking of it a bit in terms of a metaphor like the so-called cloud in modern computers and digital devices of all kinds. That you can store stuff in the clouds that you can access from any place with any place that has internet access, that is. With any device, a cell phone or a tablet or a personal computer. I think I've heard of an iWatch. Is that what they call it? An Apple. Apple makes a little watch now that has internet capabilities. So in this metaphor, the wisdom and compassion of the eternal are in the cloud, so to speak. And in whatever place or position we find ourselves in whatever state we find ourselves in, we can access that wisdom and compassion of the eternal by turning to the eternal and asking for help. By sitting still and opening our heart to the eternal. By waiting patiently for that help to permeate the need that we're presenting to the eternal. By listening to the eternal's guidance. By having the willingness that all of this presupposes, a willingness to do that which is truly good to do, and to refrain from doing that which is not good to do, which is one way of describing the following of the eternal, our following of the eternal. And this is a good metaphor, this cloud metaphor, if you think of our capacity to turn towards the eternal for help in all situations and all need. Not just in some situations and in some need. It's funny that in our greatest need, we're sometimes most blind to the truth, and it is a truth, that, and an enduring truth, that we can turn towards the eternal for help. Because often in our greatest needs, when we're feeling most unworthy, most lacking in any spirituality, well, if you kind of look at it objectively, you think, well, right there, that's when you need the help, and there it is, it's right in front of you. Well, another way of saying this, very simply, is that when it's most difficult to look up is when we're in the greatest need. And somehow we have to find within ourselves the willingness and the ability, the capacity to look up so that we can present our need to the eternal, to the help of the eternal. There's a very great deal one could say about the various implications of this simple teaching. Think about the times when you think, well, I really don't know anything at all. Here I've been meditating and training all these years, and you know, what do I have to show for it? Well, we could ask, again, looking at a little more objectively, standing outside that situation for a moment and looking at ourselves in that, when we're in that state, we could ask, why don't you see? You don't have to have anything to show for it. You don't have to present to the eternal a whole bunch of accumulated merit. The accumulated merit manifests precisely in the fact that in the midst of such circumstances, we find that we can look up, that we can take refuge in the eternal. So this is a teaching that offers great comfort, great consolation, especially in those times when we most feel the weight of our own humanity. It's easy to forget, and I think that a lot of the time very well-intentioned people do forget that religion exists to offer us a kind of help. Those who are very happy and complacent in their happiness don't feel the need for religion. Those who are disturbed by the truth do feel the need for religion. The wisdom of Manjushri is not locked in some remote spiritual realm that can only be accessed after lifetimes and lifetimes of gradually making merit. The compassion of Kanzeyan, the wisdom of Manjushri, are always right there in the Dharma cloud, you might say, ready to be accessed when we just turn towards it with the naive and trusting heart of a child. In my experience, this is always the best way to find what is truly good to do, the best way to grope my way towards what is going to be most helpful both for self and other, to grope my way towards that which is going to help everyone be a success in their own way. It doesn't come from years and years and years of accumulated, painfully accumulated knowledge. Of course our experience can be very helpful, and there's many bits and pieces of insight that we pick up. Yet none of that in itself constitutes wisdom. Wisdom, genuine wisdom, transcends all externals. And we find this again and again when we truly don't know what to do. We turn towards the eternal for help, and the next step unscrolls before us. We find we can take that step. Do not think, I am only a layman, I'm only a laywoman, I'm not a monk who's had great lightning bolts of enlightenment strike me, I haven't been good enough, I haven't tried hard enough. Just take all the longing and pain and grief and confusion that underlies such thinking and just present it to the eternal and ask for help. It's not magic. It's not impossible. You don't have to be special It's just a human being conscious of need, turning towards that to which they belong entirely with childlike faith.